The prince of this world is already judged. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not too long ago, I had a very interesting discussion with a young mother. She is a convert to the Catholic faith, and she has three young babies. Because of this, because she had three children in such a quick succession, she's taken an awful lot of criticism from her relatives who are not Catholics or who are fallen away Catholics. And she said to me that even strangers will express to her sometime when she's out subtly their disapproval of the idea of having three young children in such a quick succession. So she asked me, well, what kind of snappy response can I make? So I thought a bit and I said, well, I don't know why people ask me that. But I said to her, well, maybe you can say this to your relatives. That, look, you spend your money on an SUV and we spend our money on a baby. And the difference between us is the difference between loving a creature that's just a thing and loving a creature with a soul that can love you back and that's made in the image and likeness of God. Now, in that particular response is, I think, a very important difference. Not just when it comes to the attitude toward children, but an attitude toward the things of this world. Now, we speak about the world, and we know that the spiritual writers tell us that the spirit of the world is something that is to be avoided and condemned. But we have to understand that correctly. We're not Manichaeans or dualists. We do not believe that created things are bad. Indeed, creation is good because it reflects the plan and the order of Almighty God. The difficulty when it comes to the world is precisely this, that when we look toward creatures above our Creator, when we, in effect, divinize and make gods of and make the principles of our action created things by which we judge everything else, and we forget about the law of God. We can decide to be a part of God's world and accept His law and try to live by it, or the devil's world. We can reject His law and live by that. What we mean by the spirit of the world that is so frequently condemned is this, of following the criteria of the world, the way that the world judges things. And what are the three criteria of the world? Saint Augustine came up with this a long time ago. He said it's threefold. By the spirit of the world, we mean the concupiscence of the flesh, the impurity, the concupiscence of the eyes, desiring those created things that are not good for us to desire to obtain. And then thirdly, the pride of life. The pride of life. Things haven't changed since the time of St. Augustine. Right? You can see it all on the Fox Channel. Only more so. What's the origin of this spirit of the world? It's this, that the individual turns toward himself and toward creatures rather than toward Almighty God. And that material things and material values become more important than the values of the kingdom of heaven. That's selfishness, in other words. And this selfishness and spirit of the world creates sort of a collective false conscience of its own that it tries to impose upon you. It has its own norms, even though it may deny the Ten Commandments and say that you are absolutely free. Nevertheless, it does have its own norms, its own customs, its own things which it considers morally acceptable or not. And this is what we as Christians face. Adults face this in the culture in which they live and in which they work. You know that there are these norms and customs and false moral atmosphere. Adults certainly experience it. And teenagers growing up, you certainly experience it as well. If you're exposed to many people at your age, of the same age, who do not have the Catholic background that you have, you see that they have their own norms and their own customs and their own false moral values and false moral atmosphere. And so we're pressured by that. We're pressured by that. And we imbibe this sometimes without even realizing it. Even though we profess Christian faith and Christian morality, and we try explicitly to reject all these different things, just by being in the atmosphere in which we find ourselves, sometimes we are indeed affected by these false maxims and false norms of the world. It's all around us. It's all around us. The world can, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the world, however, can in fact coexist in the same person. In the same person. We can perhaps live for the most part a Christian life according to the norms that our Blessed Lord has laid down, but the false norms of the culture and the false norms of the world do affect us, and sometimes we rationalize these things and try and make them and defend them and try to make them a part of ourselves. This young mother that I described was, as I said, a convert to the Catholic faith when she was in the university. And all during that period of time, she was very tough and very forthright in standing up for the Catholic faith in class when her professors would attack it. And, you know, that's something very, very praiseworthy. Very praiseworthy. And she was very articulate about this. So she understood these things. But in the course of the same discussion with this woman about the about children and so on, about family life, we talked about the notion of the husband being the head of the family, as St. Paul said. And she said, "Oh, that makes just no sense to me." And I said, "Well, why? I mean, St. Paul says it. You know, I didn't make it up." And she said, "Well, you know, I don't think my husband should be the head because I'm smarter than he is." So you can find someone who's a very good person who'll have imbibed an idea like that. Or you have another type of person who professes to be a good Christian and then falls into sin through human weakness and then worries about the hypocrisy of professing the Catholic faith, having fallen into sin. But really that's is not the sin of hypocrisy at work, as long as a person can honestly say that he is trying. He's trying to overcome his sins and his weak human nature. And he may have many falls into sin, but he can never give up. So there's the coexistence here of the of God and the world in the same person. So if you fall into these categories, don't be discouraged. The first example here that comes to mind is St. Peter. Immediately after he confesses to our Blessed Lord that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Immediately after that, after our Lord gives him the keys to the kingdom of heaven, our Lord foretells his passion. And Peter rejects that. He says, that's impossible. That's impossible. On one hand, he had his faith. On the other hand, he had a worldly norm that was affecting him because he was expecting a worldly Messiah. And this had a bad effect, the bad example of St. Peter, because the other apostles found it very difficult, didn't accept this idea of our Lord suffering and death, and didn't really understand it until the Holy Ghost came down upon them. Or again, St. Peter, we see him offering himself on the night of the Passion to suffer and to die for our blessed Lord. And then what happens? He goes into the courtyard. And he is affected by the spirit of the world, by this pressure, by this worldliness. And he denies Christ three times. So you see, these things can coexist. They're not supposed to, and we're supposed to work against them and not become discouraged. Practically speaking, what should you do? First of all, you have to examine your life for unwitting acceptance of the false maxims and norms of the world. That self-examination is extremely important, where you do not simply react to the world. You do not accept things passively, but you think, you observe, and you think things out. So that's the first thing you examine. Examine your own life. And secondly, on the basis of what you see, you have to work to uproot these false values of the world that you have accepted. And that's not an instant, that's not something that occurs instantly. I tell people with regard to many things in the spiritual life, I don't have a shot that I can give you that will cure you of this. But it's a constant application, a constant work, like tending a garden. And thirdly, and this is particularly important at this time of the liturgical year, you have to pray to the Holy Ghost to inspire you, to see more clearly your own faults and to come into your heart to inspire you to overcome them. So that according to the collect of today's Mass, we will make with our lives this sincere prayer. Grant, O Lord, that thy people may love what thou dost command and desire what thou dost promise, that amidst the changing things of the world, our hearts may be set where true joys are to be found. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.